possession and the closure of this grand topic of attributes of God. And I want to extend my greetings to brothers in Africa who's been studying continuously with us. And may the Lord just continue to strengthen you and empower you with the Spirit of God. I want to begin this topic of immutability of God with an excerpt by Charles Spurgeon from 1855, and that's 165 years ago. And today, interestingly, my session is based upon two giants of Christian history, one by Spurgeon and later on by Jonathan Edwards, who's from 265 years ago. It's kind of interesting because 165 years ago, Spurgeon preached this sermon from Metropolitan Tabernacle. And Jonathan Edwards in New Jersey somewhere, he preached it 265 years ago. But it is still good because this message of God is immutable. He does not change. Okay? So let me begin with an excerpt from Spurgeon. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy, which can ever engage the attention of a child of God, is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. Isn't that amazing? That's what we've been doing for the last 8 months. I actually looked it up. It's been 8 months since October of 2020. Okay, let me continue. Spurgeon continues, there is something exceedingly improving to the mind in a contemplation of the divinity. It is a subject so vast that all our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than the thoughts of God. We shall be obliged to feel, great God, how infinite art thou, what worthless worms are we. Charles Spurgeon from 1855. Isn't that wonderful? And Lord was gracious, and that's what we've been doing. Contemplation of our great God. Okay? And he humbled us. Okay? So, let me begin. I would like to begin the topic of immutability with a verse from the very end of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It reads, for the Lord do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Okay, let me read that one more time. For the Lord do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Here in the very last chapter of the Old Testament, second to the last chapter, because there are four chapters in the book of Malachi, God himself, the Lord, Yahweh, the word is Yahweh, right, declares about something significant, magnificent about himself. Or the, if you want to call it, theology proper from Lord himself. Can you believe that? This is the theology of about himself. Very meaningful and timely, if you think about it, because this is the last saying or last chapter of the Old Testament, where Malachi is calling the Israelites to repent and turn back to God. Okay, that's the context. And soon the Old Testament ends, and then there's going to be a 400 years of intertestamental period before another prophet speaks, and that's John the Baptist. That's another 400 years, and God will be silent. Okay, so he declares, for the Lord do not change, immutable, unchanging. Then he said, therefore, you are not consumed. And I want to remind you, the context is Israelites wayward, and God is calling his people through his prophet, through the word, return to me, for I, the Lord, do not change, and you will not be consumed. What does that mean? It means you will be spared from my judgment, or you'll be saved. Okay? Why? Because my immutable, unchanging nature and the promise. Isn't that wonderful? Because the Lord or Yahweh do not change. Okay? So imagine with me God changing. You know, the difference between all human being and God is this. All human being changes. When you look at me, I know you see me changing. Okay? But it's hard for you to see yourself changing, especially when you're young. But I could guarantee you, you are changing. Okay? But God never changes. Okay? So imagine, let's just imagine God changing then. Okay? What does that look like? What does that mean? Let's take an example. God is good. Okay? God is good. And he's going to change. Which direction? Is it going to get better? Or is it going to get worse? Right? God is good, Bible says. And which is expressed in so many different ways. Remember, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, hesed, and faithful, and which are all the different expressions of his immeasurable, perfect goodness. So if he changes, he cannot change for the better. You know why? Because he is already perfect. And how is it going to get better? He's better than perfect? There's no such thing, right? So that's not possible because he has already always been perfect, perfectly good. Now let's think about the other direction, which is kind of scary, if you think with me. The only other option of changing, God changing, is then he will get less good. Wow, that's scary, isn't it? That if he is less good, then some part of him is evil. Imagine omnipotent evil. Imagine omniscient evil. Imagine sovereign evil. That's scary. Okay? If that happens, he's not only not good, partly evil, but also that he cannot be the God of the scripture. He's just not God. And therefore, only reasonable conclusion that we could come to is it is impossible for God to change. He is immutable. Okay? And this attribute of God may be the most assuring, strengthening and comforting attribute for all of his children. Now think about it. He's never changing. He's always loving you immutably. He's always be compassionate to you immutably. He will be faithful to you, unchanging, immutably. Can you imagine that? Right? But if you think about the other possibility, definitely not for those who are not submitted to him. Can you imagine the wrath of God remains on him immutably? Immutably. So immutability comes from the Latin word immutabilis. Im means not, opposite. And mutabilis meaning changing. So it means not changing or unchanging or constant. I want to mention something because I heard someone saying to each other, you are my constant. There is no such thing. There's only one constant. God is constant. God is the constant. He's the rock. He never changes. So what does that mean? God does not grow, evolve, nor improve because he's already perfect. He's already perfect. If he's not, then he's not the God of the Bible. Okay? God cannot diminish, deteriorate, or regress, for then he would no longer be God. Whatever God is, he has always been and always will be. Does that make sense? Okay? So, I want to use Charles Spurgeon's article now. So, when we say God is immutable, what exactly changes not? What are we talking about? What does not change? And Spurgeon gives six categories, okay? So if you would just listen. For first, when we say God is immutable, God changes not his essence. His essence never changes. As I shared, we human beings and all the creation, the substance of human being and all creation is always changing. You know, mountains are changing. Rivers are changing. Oceans are changing. All creation changes, but especially men, right? In regards to his body, either you are gaining weight or losing weight. I don't think you are getting younger. You are aging. Right? So man, especially in his body, is always undergoing change. But God is perpetually the same. Always the same. He is immutable, self-existing, the great I am, the great unchanging God, and his essence of his being of God never changes. I want us to think about something then. What about when Jesus became a man then? Did his nature, essence change? And the answer is no. His essence, God's essence, did not undergo a change. The Godhead was always the same. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in perfect unity. Not even by his incarnation, he changes. He remains everlastingly, eternally, the one unchanging God. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 7 says, okay, he is unchanging God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variations, neither the shadow of a change. Okay? The first thing that changes is not, when we say immutability of God, is his essence. As God. Secondly, he changes not his attributes. Last 8 months, we had a privilege of dealing with 24 different attributes of God, and today that includes 25, and there are more, of course. And all the attributes do not change. Every single of them. Okay, let me give you an example. When we say he is holy, remember that was the first topic? He is immutably holy. Immutably holy. When we say he is righteous, he's right. We know he's always right, but he is immutably right. Okay, and then you could go on and on and on. Was he powerful? Was he the omnipotent? Yes, he was powerful then, and he is powerful now. He does not change. Was he wise? all-knowing, omniscient. Yes, he was wise then, and he is wise now. He never changes. Was he just? Yes, he was just and holy, like in the past, and he is holy now. And it applies to every single attributes of God. Truthful. He is immutably truthful, right? His goodness, he is immutably good. And his loving kindness is immutably kind, okay? So second thing that he does not change, his essence and then his attributes. Thirdly, what changes not? God changes not his, in terms of his plan. He does not change his mind, okay? We human beings, okay, we try to build, but not able to finish. Oftentimes, we cannot. So what do? We change our plan. And every man does, and everyone has to do it. But God never begins something to build and not able to finish. You understand that? He begins, and he'll always finish. He who began the good work will carry it on till completion, until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. God has a plan or decree, and it's a perfect plan. And he's the mastermind. We use that expression for bad things, but God is the mastermind, and he has arranged everything from beginning to the end. In his gigantic intellect, long before he did it, and once having settled it, he never changes his plan. And Isaiah says, this is my purpose, and it will stand. Okay? God does not change his plan. His plan is immutable. Don't you want to know his plan? Right? It's an immutable plan. He does not change because he is all wise, so he cannot plan it wrongly. Right? And he is everlasting God, so he cannot die before he finishes his plan. He is omnipotent, right? So he's going to finish it. So in terms of his plan, here's a big thing, okay? His plan is to save his people. His plan is to save his people, salvation of his people. That's his unchanging, immutable, and it will come to fruition. And that's the purpose and that's the plan. Therefore, if you are in Christ, talking about security, eternal security. And this is what Spurgeon wrote. My name, from the palm of his hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart, it remains in marks of indelible grace. Your name is written on the palm of God's hand, and it'll never be erased. And it's written with the indelible grace. Okay? Fourthly, what does not change when we say God is immutable? God does not change his promises, nor his word. His word never changes. His promises never changes. This is so uplifting for Christians. This is so encouraging if you think about it, right? His promises never changes. Behold, I am with you until the very end of the age. That's a promise, and that'll never change. That'll never change. Right? If it is changing, then the scripture is worthless. His promises are not trustworthy, right? That does not make sense because his immutable promises are always, his promises are always immutable. And you may think, which one? All of it. Every single one of it. Why? Because it is impossible for God to lie. He say one thing and did another. It's impossible, Bible says. He has signed and confirmed and sealed every promise of his. And therefore, the gospel is not maybe. Therefore, gospel is not yes and no. The gospel is yes, yes, immutably yes. Do you follow? Okay. And every promise of is standing up like the rock. He's constant. He's the rock. Okay. Fifthly, when we say immutability of God, what is not changing? His judgment is not changing. His judgment is not changing. Now, up to this now, everything was great. Now, but can you think about this? His judgment is immutably will stand. Okay? Every threatening of God, as well as every promise, shall be fulfilled and come to fruition. He that believes not shall be condemned. Unchanging, unaltered, immutable truth, reality, and the fact. Don't you ever forget that. Okay. He promises that he will come back. Christ is coming back and judge the living and the dead. And he will repay you. Recompense will be, I'll bring the recompense according to what you have done. That's immutably the truthful statement. His judgment is immutably unchanging. Sixth and last, what is unchanging when we say God is immutable? The sixth and last is his object of his love never changes. Can you pause for a second? Who's that? Who's that? That's you, if you're in Christ. That's me, for I am in Christ. Right? If one of the saints of God perishes, that means all might perish, right? If one of the covenant one be lost, then all might be lost. There is no gospel promise, but the Bible is a lie, and there is nothing in it that we could receive it with our trustworthiness. So no one can be lost, okay? Not even one. However, if God loves me once, he will love me forever because he does not change. The object of his love does not change. We human beings change our minds. We get divorced and we have extramarital relationships. We change, but God never changes his object of his love. The objects of everlasting love never change, and those whom God has called, Romans chapter 8, those whom God has called, he justifies, and those who he justified, he sanctifies, and those who he sanctify, he will glorify. He began the work, and he finishes it. And the object of his love never changes. Okay? So, let me just put it together, okay? What changes now when we say immutability of God? He changes not in six different things. His essence, his attributes, his plan and decree, and his promises and his word. Okay? And his judgment, number five. And lastly, his object of his love. Can we pause for a second? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. I don't know whether there is anything in this life that you could trust like that. Not even your husband, not even your parents, not even the most powerful president of the country. If there is anyone that you could put your trust, because he's so unchangingly loving you. It's this God that we're talking about. Okay? As we have been doing for the last 8 months, I want to talk about gospel connection. So how do we connect this attribute of God with the gospel? Okay? And this time, I want to use this article by Jonathan Edwards. And this was written 265 years ago. How do you like that, right? And they come together and they are exactly the same. You know why? Because our God is immutable. Immutable. If Lord does not return 500 years later, someone will be preaching the same thing 500 years later about the immutability of God. Okay? So this is what Jonathan Edwards explains. When we say we human beings are sinful and corrupted by sin nature, at the core of it, at the core of our sin nature and corruption, we hate God. We hate God. Okay? And you would think, why is it? Why is it that we, enemies of God, we hate who is altogether such a beautiful and wonderful being like our God? He gives us life and he wants to save. And why do we hate him? And Jonathan Edwards contemplates in his article, okay, four qualities of God, four attributes of God we human beings hate, which is of God. Four attributes. And it'll be pretty quick. Okay? First attribute that we hate about God is his holiness. It's his holiness. Because he is holy and we are not. We hate his perfect purity. We hate his transcendent greatness because we are not. But you know why we hate that holiness of God? Because sin nature, we love the darkness more than the light. That's why. Okay? That's why. A natural, corrupted man hate God and hate Jesus because of his holiness. And we hate his word. And we hate this gospel of immutable God. Okay? So Jonathan Edwards kind of explained that that's why we hate God. We corrupted human beings. We hate holiness of God. Secondly, Edward continues, we hate God because of his omniscience. He knows everything. He knows all things. Now think with me. If God is holy and we are unholy, then we may do things in secret so he doesn't have to know. Right? So we could get away with that. We could hide and he doesn't know what we're doing. But you know what? Edward says, there's no chance for that. No hope for that because he is omniscient. There is no secrets. There is no hiding places. That's why we hate God. Because he knows all things. And we hate that about him. Okay? Third quality of God or attribute of God, why we human beings, corrupted human beings, hate God is because of his omnipotence. Omnipotence. Not only he's holy, not only he knows everything, omniscient, but he overpowers us. We cannot beat him. That's why we hate him. Okay? That really stings because if he's weak, perhaps we could fight him. Perhaps we could just beat him. But Edward says, there is no hope for that. Because he's omnipotent. Immutably omnipotent. Right? All-powerful. Omnipotent, all-knowing God. Now, here's the Edward's argument really turns around. So when we think about holiness, when we think about omniscience, when we think about omnipotence, it kind of makes sense. That's why we hate God. But the fourth attribute that Jonathan Edwards mentions, why we corrupted human beings hate God is because of his immutability. Immutability. What? Strange. You may be wondering, why is that included in this list? And here's why. Okay? Now, think with me and reason with me. He's been holy since eternity until now. And we think maybe one day God will become less holy, right? And we corrupted and sinful men, then we will be okay. But Edward answers, there is no hope for that. You know why? Because he's immutably holy. Immutably holy. God is eternally holy, unchanging, forever and ever and ever. Okay? Secondly, what about his omniscience? You know, we human beings, as we get older, we forget things. We're not as sharp as when we were younger, right? So perhaps God will get older, right? And get less omniscient, which means not omniscient, right? He will begin to forget things and he will begin to like overlook things. But Edward says, there is no hope for that. Why? Because he is immutably omniscient. He's immutably omniscient, eternally omniscient, unchangingly omniscient. That's going to apply to our judgment too. He will be immutably all-knowing about all that we have said and all that we have done. What about omnipotence? Same logic. You know, we human beings, as we get older, you know, we lose our muscles. Even Pastor Paul Park is shrinking. Right? And getting softer. I noticed it. And then he's changing. Everything's changing about him, right? But older we get weaker and we're not as strong. And perhaps God could get weaker and change. But Edward says, there is no hope for that because God is immutably omnipotent. Do you follow? That's why we hate God. Okay, that's why we hate God. That's a horrific, horrific news to an unrepentant person because he's not going to change. That's a horrible news. But it is the greatest news to the redeemed. Does that make sense? Immutability. It's a horrible news to unrepentant sinner, but it is the great news or the greatest news to the redeemed because immutable God is our rock. He's the constant. You could always trust him. Even after your death, you could trust him, right? Because that immutable, holy, omniscient, omnipotent God loves me immutably, right? His plan to save his people, you and I, is immutable. No one can change nor hinder his plan because he is omnipotent immutably. And he's going to do it. He's going to finish it. He's going to carry it through because his word and his promise is immutable. Okay? You know what? That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. The Lord, I do not change. Right? In Malachi chapter 3. But guess what? In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means, brothers and sisters? Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord who do not change. He is the immutable God, and his cross is the immutable way of salvation. Only immutable way of salvation. To those who would put their trust and faith in him. That makes sense? What an amazing gospel that is. Gospel connection. Immutability and the gospel connection. Therefore, you will not be consumed. Malachi chapter 3, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Okay, let me sum it up and then I'm done. A little bit saddened, but I'm done. Okay? Jesus is the Lord who do not change. He is same yesterday and today and forever. May this God bless your future immutably. Okay? Let's pray.